Wes, is that smile because you're happy to see me?
That smile means I am happy to see you, and it's time for our second rack and stack of the day. How you doing, Randy?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Do we, is there any better in this? I don't think it does.
You know, it doesn't. And, you know, our last guest, you know, just absolutely made me feel alive, you know, in a way that I just can't even tell you. You know, we love what we do. We do what we love. But when we have outstanding guests, which we have several today, it just energizes me to do this over and over again.
It does. It does not get any better. And now we have, I just can't believe we're going to have somebody that we just read his book, Unreasonable Hospitality, Will Gadero. I mean, just a first-class guest and a first-class author, restapreneur. Wow, that's easy for me to say. I bet he says it better than I do. I hope he does. But anyway, why don't we, because you and I could chat forever and we do it all the time. Let's bring Will on and let's get going.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, brother.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Will, welcome.
How's it going, man?
I'll tell you what, it could not be any better. Could not be any better. As I mentioned to you off screen, I am a little hungry thinking about your book. But but then again, I'm hungry all the time. It's a battle I run since my mom cooked on the farm for me, you know. So good old farm.
Hey, listen, I feel it. I spend most of my life just looking forward to whatever meal is coming next.
So. You know, that's my favorite meal, the next one, right? Oh, good stuff. Well, thank you for being on. I appreciate you joining. Hey, there's your doggy. Little doggy in the background.
Speaking of food, her name is Butter.
Okay.
And she's going to be on the pod. She'll be on the podcast with me.
Well, that's okay. We take extra guests. That's perfect. So you're in the city now. I take it.
We live between the city and the Hudson Valley.
Oh, okay.
So today you find me in Kingston, New York.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Very nice. Well, you know, so your book, Unreasonable Hospitality, is an absolutely incredible book, and really, really enjoyed the read. I'm a big believer in that kind of trying to bring that flavor, if you will, using a little food term there, right? You know, to our customer experience that we have with people, and you don't think of bringing hospitality from a restaurant into the rest of the work world, right? And you do such a great job of pointing that out. So I'm really looking forward. It's obviously a bestseller and well deserved. So let's talk about the book. Talk about you. Talk about your history. Talk about the restaurant. So give us a little background. You know, who in the world is Will? I know we only got, we can do this for 4 hours. That's the max. So, you know, because I'm hungry. So we've all established that. But
okay, so Will is a restaurateur.
You said that better than I did.
No, man, you know, I grew up in the restaurant business. My dad was a lifelong restaurateur. I'm from Westchester, New York. My dad used to be the president of a company called Restaurant Associates. And anyone who has ever grown up in a restaurant family, you know that if you love your parents, you know, I spend time with them and they work in restaurants, you go to work with them. And so I used to go to work with my dad all the time. And from an early age, I was just enchanted by restaurants, by how every day was different from the day before. I got to see him play with food and wine and graphic design and interior design and leading a team and everything in between. And no 2 days were alike. But more than that, it was the energy in the dining rooms that always drew me to the business. You know, the fact that when you walk into a dining room at a restaurant, if you actually look closely enough, you can kind of see every one of life's experiences happening at the exact same time. Huh. You have a couple on their first date. You have some guys on a business meeting. You have a married couple celebrating some anniversary and kind of everything in between. And I think that's a pretty beautiful thing. I've always been enchanted by the table. and how that's truly one of the last places where people are somewhat inclined to put their phones down and actually lean in and genuinely connect over food and wine with the person on the other side of that table. And so I've never looked back. I mean, I've worked in restaurants my entire life. It's the only thing I've ever done. And I wrote this book during COVID, A, because I had the time and space to actually do it for the first time. I just sold my company right before COVID started. But B, because I just believe we're in this moment where, and maybe the pandemic supercharged this realization, where collectively we've reconnected with our need for human connection. We've like kind of had a perspective reset where we've once again identified how important relationships are and how much we need to pursue them. And I believe we're on the precipice of becoming a hospitality economy, because I believe that any single business, I don't care what you do for a living, you can make the choice to be in the hospitality industry simply by choosing to care as much about how you make people feel as you already care about whatever product you're trying to sell. And in every case, I've seen that be good for the customers, good for the team, and good for the bottom line.
That is well said. So yeah, that I think you're so right. We lost that for quite a while, didn't we? Just grow business, just build business, just make stuff and sell stuff and ship stuff and then repeat, right? And we've lost touch with that. And that's a brilliant analogy on how you brought that back. I love that.
And by the way, like it's not only a life strategy that's emotionally fulfilling, but it's also a business strategy. Because listen, I don't care what you do for a living. Someone can very easily come out with a better product. It can be someone smarter, someone more creative, someone younger, someone with more money. There's always going to be someone just around the corner that can sell something better than the thing that you're selling. That's where relationship capital comes in. Because relationships take time to develop. They take time to pursue. And if you are loyal to the people you work with and to the people you serve, they will be loyal in return. I think actually investing money and time into relationship capital accounts is the best moat any business can build. Because if someone comes around with a slightly better product, but your people are loyal to you, it's going to make it that much harder for them to come in and eat your lunch.
Right. That's well said. So, and so with your restaurant, in reading your book, obviously great food, like you just said, of course it's great food. It's New York City. It's going to be great food, or you're not going to survive in New York City, right?
Yeah.
But it's all about, and what you just hit on, I thought was very well said, is, and that's what I picked up the most from the book, is people came to your restaurant and they left your restaurant and came back and recommended your restaurant. All about the experience, right? Of course, the food was great, but I think it's fair to say there's a whole lot of other places to get great food in the city of New York, too. Go ahead.
There's a quote by Maya Angelou. She said, people will forget what you say, they'll forget what you do, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And for me, I'm not sure what she was alluding to when she said it, but it's a quote about hospitality.
Right.
At the end of the day, no one is ever going to remember how a dish made them feel unless it gave them indigestion. Right? But right. If we create moments that show we were present enough when we were serving people to listen to what they were saying and that we cared enough about them to do something with what we heard, if we take what we do seriously but don't take ourselves so seriously that we let self-imposed standards get in the way of us giving people around us the things that will bring them joy, if we create gestures that are bespoke to the individual, then we're giving people stories that are good enough to help them relive an experience over and over again and give them an emotional connection to that experience.
That's well, yeah, you want Get your doggy. The real star of the show is the dog. you're just the sidekick, Will. We figured that out.
Oh, I know. No, that's I'm like the sidekick to the sidekick since I got married. So that's something I'm totally comfortable playing.
Well, yeah, well, when you get married, you probably better if you want to stay married long, you better figure out that where you've fallen that hierarchy. Right? Oh, good stuff. So, and we're gonna bring Ben on in a few minutes with MWI Components, a company that I'm blessed to have represented for 20 some years. And but talk a little bit, and then we'll bring Ben on. But your book is not just for people that are in the quote hospitality world, right? Your book is for anybody that wants to develop relationships, whether it's personal relationships, whether it's any kind of business it is, it doesn't matter. The concepts of unreasonable hospitality flow so easily if you're open to it, right? Into any business, period. Am I wrong?
I mean, listen, America used to be a manufacturing economy. Now we're a service economy, and dramatically so. More than 3/4 of our GDP is driven by the service industries. And that means that statistically speaking, 3/4 of the people listening to this right now do the same thing for a living that I do. We're in the business of serving other people. Mm-hmm. I happen to do that through food. But the way I see the world is there's plenty of restaurants that are not in the hospitality industry because they don't focus on hospitality. And there's plenty of people that do very, very different things for a living that are in the hospitality industry that do focus on hospitality. It has nothing to do with the product you serve. It has everything to do about how intentional and creative you are and how you make people feel when you serve that thing. And yeah, it also applies to life because, listen, I think relationships are relationships. And the rules that govern relationships in our lives oftentimes apply to those at work and vice versa. The book at its core is about being intentional in pursuit of relationships. And it's about being willing to work just as hard, to be just as creative, to be just as relentless in how you pursue those relationships as we historically have been in trying to build the best product possible to sell to those people.
So you took, let's get real specific for a minute. You took a 11 Madison Park, pretty good restaurant, right? And you took it to the top. And you took it there by all we've just been talking about. Is your attention to detail hospitality. And if we could maybe take a few minutes and tell us a little bit about from the book, a little bit of some of the things that you did to go to rise to number one. Because I specifically love one of them was how you had the plates turned over so that your staff could read the name on the back of the plate. That one really struck me. And so if you don't mind, give us a couple minutes about the importance of that and how helped you rise to the number one.
I mean, the path to number one was all about constantly pushing both envelopes of excellence and hospitality simultaneously. It's not or between those two things. It always has to be and, right? Mm. You said, of course, we have good food. We were in New York City, otherwise we wouldn't be open. That's true. Excellence is the prerequisite. It's how you get in the game. Hospitality is how you win it. But you need to push both constantly, otherwise one will lag. From an excellence perspective, I believe that the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. And if you can systemize moments of focus and intention into the daily lives of your team, it makes everyone better. And so what you're saying was actually a combination of the two. In nice restaurants, people are always looking at the plate to see who made it because they probably want to buy the same plate for their house. And so we set the plates, the charger, the one that's on the table when you sit down before you get your food, such that if you turned it over, the logo would be facing you perfectly. Mm. Now, how many people actually turned over the plate? Maybe 10%. How many of the 10% that turned over the plate would even notice that that was done with intention? Maybe 1%. So very, very few. That wasn't the point. The point was that at the very beginning of someone's shift, when they're just setting the room for service, they're forced to be very intentional and aware of how they're doing the simplest of things. And if you can bring that level of focus to the simple tasks, it always carries forward into the more complicated ones. And then we pushed hospitality with as much discipline and rigor. We had a position in the restaurant called the Dreamweaver, someone whose only responsibility was to help everyone else on the team execute big ideas, small ideas, just one-off unique gestures for their people. There's a retired naval captain named Sir David Marquet, who's famously said that in most organizations, the people at the top have all the authority and none of the information. The people on the front line have all the information and none of the authority. We always tried to construct systems such that we could bridge that divide. And so we let anyone on the team, servers, busboys, food runners, if they heard something from a guest that they were serving, they could come up with an idea, some gesture to extend to that guest so that the person felt seen and felt loved. But the position, the Dreamweaver, was there to help them bring these ideas to life. An example, one night there was a family of four from Spain dining with us, and it was parents and their two kids, and it started snowing, and we had these big windows, and we learned that it was the first time the kids had seen real snow. The server sent the Dreamweavers out into the city to find a store still open at 8 o'clock on a Friday night selling sleds. And when the guests left the restaurant, they were taken to Central Park to go sledding.
Wow.
Similarly, a guest was in the restaurant and on his way home after his meal to finish a business trip. And he said that he had forgotten to buy his daughter one of the little stuffed teddy bears with an I Heart NY t-shirt on it. Easy. The Dreamweavers made it happen and we gave it to him on the way out. Now, all this stuff, it does require some investment. The Dreamweaver is another person on the team. A stuffed animal here, some sleds there. Not that material, but not immaterial.
Right.
But I believe it's an investment that pays dividends that are so vast, they're incalculable. Because that type of marketing where you're not paying to put an ad somewhere, but you're mobilizing an army of people that want to go out into the world and tell stories about how you made them feel. It's more genuine. It's more persistent. And it's more infectious.
Oh, exactly. Those little moves right there, not little moves, they're actually big moves, but the favor that you gain from just that, that family. But that multiplies, what, 10x, 100x, 1,000x, how many x's, right?
I mean, because a lot of x's.
It's a lot of x's, right? Because they're going to tell everybody in the world, this is where you want to go eat when you're in New York City, right?
Yeah.
And that's so huge. And again, it's those little things that I think I love the idea, the concept of the little things and doing the little things right, because most of the time, most people, and I say most of the time, don't miss the big things because they're big things. They're there. You're probably not going to miss the big things, but it's, man, it's all those tiny little things that add up again to the multiple X's, right?
Yes.
That's good stuff. Good stuff. So as we met off screen before we started with my friend and longtime guy that I've known for a million years now that actually owns one of the manufacturers that I'm blessed to rep for, Ben Nystrom, co-owner of MWI Components, and we just chatted off screen. Wes, let's bring Ben on. And because as we talked off screen, Will, we talked about how a team of us are reading the book together. Ben, why don't you go ahead and bring up what you and Phil, your partner, have decided to do with the book and what we're doing and how that helps parlay into what we've been talking about.
My business partner presented this book to me last spring, and he said, I'm really touched by it. You know, I just feel like there's a lot of really good ideas that could be implemented into our company. And, you know, would you be interested in this? And, you know, I'm my gut check instantly was like, yeah, this sounds really, really cool. Cause I grew up, being a line cook. So like when I was in high school and then I was a camp counselor when I was in college, and I went to college in Boston, and in the summer they would take inner city kids up to New Hampshire, and I worked in the kitchen there. And during the weeks in between when they would, you know, be shuffling kids in and out of there, they would have some of the old timers come up who had either gone to camp there or was counselors. And, you know, these guys, they'd pull out their wads of cash because they were all excited to be there, and they'd give me a dollar. But it was me and the chef, and that was, I loved that. I really loved that experience. And even though I was just kind of a 19-year-old kid who had no clue what I wanted to do, I knew that I could always be useful in the kitchen. And so it was foundational. I never really did it past that point. You know, I got into sales when I was in my early 20s, and that's basically what I've been doing since. And that's how Randy and I met. You know, I think I was 22 when I met Randy, or 21-ish, or somewhere around there. And I'm 48 now. So great relationship there. But back to the book.
So Randy was just a teenager when you guys met then, huh?
Yes. And I just act like, I still act 12, Will. My wife says that. She says, do you have to act 12? I said, I can work on 13-ish if you really want, but...
We'll get you there. We'll get you there.
Sooner or later, I'll mature.
I just so many things resonated with me. I mean, I filled a notebook, basically, you know, upon reading it. I mean, I read a lot of books, and you know, I would put myself somewhere around 30-ish a year. And so far, I would say in 2023, this one has resonated with me the most. And I evaluate that by how many notes I took, you know, while reading.
So kind, man. That makes me really, really happy to hear.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and a lot of things were echoing. I wouldn't say that they were reinforcing things that I kind of had inside, you know, like I was actually having an experience when I was reading it, where you were talking about, and I believe it was your father. I know your father was a heavy influence, but he basically said, you can't be mediocre 364 days a year, then transform into a great one that, you know, the day that the critic happens to come in. And you were talking about, you know, trying to achieve the 5-star status at that point. And it was crazy because I literally had a competitor who was putting out notices saying 3 weeks from now, we will be back to our normal lead times. And I just thought that was like, it resonated so heavily with me because I thought, no, you're not.
Yeah.
No, you should be there now.
Yes.
Telling people you'll be there in 3 weeks is a lie. So,
well, A, it's a lie, and B, you're trying to normalize inadequacy in a moment where that should never be normalized.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And that felt the same to me. And I just, it was an aha moment of where, like, I sat back and I thought, you know what? We're not perfect. We're always trying to be better. We're always striving for, you know, perfection, but, you know, and I'll quote the book again, but you know, it may not be possible to do everything perfectly. But it is possible to do many things perfectly. And I really, really loved that because, again, it felt inside of me, we're doing everything that we can possibly do to make this the experience that it needs to be with our customers, because our customer experience, you know, really is the most important thing for many, many reasons that you already mentioned. You know, basically, if a competitor walks in their door, we need that foundation. We need that tenure. We need to have been doing a really good job over the last few years, or in some cases decades, so that our competitor doesn't have a shot, you know?
Yes. Yeah. It's that capital that I think is so much harder for anyone to really compete with. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I think is really interesting about all of it is, you're in sales, right? And one of the things I say often is that unreasonable hospitality turns salespeople into product designers. The point being that the moment you feel like you are genuinely able to bring your own creativity into the experience you're selling, you're that much more willing to work super hard to make it the best experience it can be. In my case, in what we did at the restaurant, the team were no longer just serving plates of food that someone else had created. They were imbuing the experience with their own creativity and were that much more engaged in making it great. They felt that much more of a sense of ownership. And I think sales is actually one of the industries where these ideas are the most applicable, because you're either just selling a thing or you're creating a bond through creating an experience where that thing happens to also get sold.
Yeah.
The thing is almost just it's the reason that you're engaging with the person, but it's not the entire exchange.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it extends to employees. It extends to the relationship, you know, like with Randy, for example. I mean, you know, Randy's had opportunities to sell competing products, or, you know, make moves to other companies. But, you know, he's chosen to stick with us, mainly because I threatened his life. And yeah,
well, there was that.
Yeah. But, yeah. But, you know, it really, we just have such a rapport, and I've always just strived to just be the absolute best for him, so that he gets up every day and is excited that he's working for me. You know, that was really my only objective when I became manager. So, you know, him and I were fellow salesmen. And then in the early aughts, or 2005, I think, was when I became sales manager. And I just, you know, I knew that if I could serve these guys and be their advocate and just really keep it to those basic core principles, I knew that they would follow me. And that was what was most important for me. And it still is to this day. You know, I've had opportunities to sell out or whatever. I mean, you get offers all the time, you know, when you have a business, as you know. And one of the things that keeps me here is the guys I get to work with.
Yeah.
And that'll always be the case. I think it really, you know, it's the relationships that keep me in the game. It's the relationships that have us taking on something like this. I've got a million things that I could be doing, but I put my, you know, my time into this book because I could just feel it. It's got, you know, there's energy behind it. There's your energy behind it that, you know, you're bringing to the world and you're sharing with the world. And that was not lost on me. So thank you very much. I really, really have been impacted by it.
Thank you so much, Ben. I really appreciate it, man. That means a lot. And I'm happy that it's resonating. And one day I'd love to hear some of the things that come out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd love to share that. So,
well, you know, the fun thing, Will, is when, you know, like Ben said, yes, immediately when Phil had talked to him, when I enjoyed the fact that when Ben brought this to the sales team, everybody instantly said, yeah, let's do this. And, yeah. And what I love about it is that's one of the things that makes MWI such a great company, is that they thought about doing this to begin with. They said, let's, this is something that we can do as a team, right? We can be a team builder. We can help ourselves be better individually and better as a team, and we'll do it together. And I know we're going to be together, fairly quickly after this podcast, and we're going to be talking about and doing a book review, if you will. But not just a review, as in we're going to chat and talk about what did we learn, right, Ben, and how can we apply this, and can we find one or two or three things that can help us be better servants to our people. And I'm just I'll say, you will thank to echo Ben's outstanding book, and thank you for bringing it. But also, Ben, thank you to you and Phil for, you know, having the foresight to say, you know what, this is something here that can make us all better. So, I mean, this is like the ultimate win-win in my opinion.
Yeah.
Guys, what a pleasure it is to meet you both.
Well, you as well, my friend. It's, I know you. We want to be cognizant of your time. Any Ben? Any last things for Will outside of we're gonna you know figure out some other conversations at some point in the future. But Ben, thanks for jumping on and sharing a little bit. Anything we missed, real quick, before we let Phil or Phil Phil's not here. Before we let Will go.
Yeah, Will. You know, thanks again. I look forward to sharing, you know, this part of the experience too, when I'm kind of following up with everyone and you know, I'd be happy to share with you some of the results, you know, after we kind of, dissect, you know, what everybody's learned and just some of the takeaways and what everybody else's experience was too. Cause I'm everybody's experience is unique but I have no doubt that it was, profoundly affected by, just taking the time and, you know, doing this together. So it's been special.
Hey, here's one activity that I encourage people to do when they're going through the book with their teams, is to do almost like an audit of the entire customer journey. When mm-hmm. I say an audit, like take a big long piece of paper and spend a couple hours basically doing a timeline with every single customer touch point from the moment you start working with someone until the end and figure out what that means for you and your business.
Yeah. I like that.
About an hour into it, you'll think you've gotten them all done and you probably only have half of them. Sure. Most customer service businesses have 2 to 3 more customer touch points than they've ever paused for long enough to consider. Once you have all those touch points down on a piece of paper, you've isolated every single one of them, then the fun part comes, which is figuring out how to elevate as many of them as humanly possible through some just simple generosity, creativity, and intention. Because most companies are only focusing on the same touch points that their competitors are focusing on. And the smallest enhancements to the least likely touch points can have the greatest impact on your customers. Mm. I guarantee you, if you take 3 hours on that, you'll come up with some stuff that'll really transform how you serve your guests.
Cool. I love that idea. We might even be able to do that next week if we carve some time out. So, because we're all going to be together and we're going to have our sales meeting next week. And this is definitely going to be a part of it. So
cool.
Yeah. I love it.
Good stuff. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Yeah. Ben, thank you. Will, appreciate you being on, my friend.
All right, guys. Take care.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Cheers.
See ya.
All right. Bye, Will. Thanks, Ben. See ya, buddy.
All right.
Appreciate it. That was good stuff.
That was awesome.
You bet, buddy. That was good stuff. All right. Cheers. All right. Will and Ben. Does it get better than that? It's almost a Will and Ben show. I like that. But buy the book. I say that sometimes, and I mean it all the time if I say it. Buy the book. It's a great book. I'm going to reread it probably twice. 3 more times this year, just because there's so much stuff there that is well-written. So many things we can bring to the table. So hospitality is for all of us every day, all day, everywhere we go. So Will, check out the book. And thank you for being a Building Wins Live audience in the audience. Thank you for being a fan. Thanks for following us. We appreciate you. We love you. Allows Wes and I to do what we love. Love what we do. Remember, live it, love it, own it. And as always, make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Cheers, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.